are listening to Beyond the White Noise Paranormal Radio with your hosts from the U.S., Kurt Logsdon, and from Liverpool, England, we have Mo Gunnery. And tonight, we have an additional co-host, Aaron, who is Mr. Stanton O'Rourke. Sit back, enjoy.
And just to give everybody a little bit of a hint, there's a guy in the chat room called Paps Be Here who's asking me to do impressive things to his unimpressed stuff. I've got a funny feeling this guy's on the other line, so I'm going to put him on firstly.
Is that you, Paps? Boy, man.
Can I have a cheeseburger, man? I want cheeseburger.
Paps, it sucks my dick. And that's all I saw, and I saw your mouth start to get all, like, juiced up and ready or something. I'm afraid, Mo, yeah. Come on.
Pops is an impressive kind of guy. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? I mean,
I could do worse.
Could have ended up with that fucking dude. What's that other name? Kate. Yeah, creepy bastard. Could have ended up with him. Nevertheless, I'm here. You're here. All's well. Live. Are you?
Things are going good, man. How's your week?
Oh, dude. A week of a, let's say, a whirlwind. Every that I want.
Somebody's had some Jameson tonight or something because somebody's gargling balls on the other end.
Oh. As I said, about this week, there you go. Do I sound better now?
A little bit, just a little bit, R2-D2, but it's okay. You got more Irish in you than 99.9% of it. Well, maybe except Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Maybe Boston
what's
will
the,
tie you a little bit.
What's
but
the
aside from Boston. Yeah, where's our third co-host? He's on the blob tonight, man.
He came out. This?
Yeah, I heard it was Liverpool St. Paddy's Day Pride or something like that, and the next thing he's marching in front.
He thought St. Patrick's Day. You see, what it is a good old saying back in Liverpool is Michael Patrick, Patrick Fitzmichael. I think Adam took it a bit too literally. He came up before on Facebook. It turned out he's gay. I'm not surprised, dude. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. You know,
we've had a few questionable nights together, me and him. Oh, I fucking hope you're listening. You'd be here to defend yourself, you evil little fucker.
Aaron can hold his own, dude.
The worst part about Adam, by the way, are navigated over on the UK, guys. You think you are winning and would be the most sarcastic battle on the planet, right? And he'll sit there and he'll let you go, let you rant on, and he'll just come out four words at random, which may be significant to an argument you had 3 years ago and he fucking remembers. He'll just pull it out on you. I go, oh shit. There you go. There's no fight left.
I love going toe-to-toe with him, dude. It's always a good challenge for me. I look at it as that. You know, I mean, because what people don't know is that we do a lot of talk behind the scenes throughout the day, you know, especially Showtime and whatever we have coming up and stuff like that. And it turns into a peer insult festival left and right from all sides of the pond. And it's fucking hilarious. That's all I got to say, dude. I have more laughs.
Who haven't been following what's been going on over the past few weeks with the way that, Beth has turned up, Ed, you're a legend, still just going to keep every time I see you, everything your name, you're a legend, just deal with it, you're amazing. Anyway, those people who have watched what's gone on over the past few weeks, we've done the name change, the group change, like you made, it's a big change. What we've done is last week we had a Skype meeting between me, Kurt, two of my team members, and we all got there on Skype and tried to slug what was going on, right? Big important suit and tie Skype, and we all sat down, cups of coffee. After about 35 minutes of insults, skits, and childish jokes, we got 10 minutes with planning sorted and then walking from it. So I think literally we're about as professional as a gypsy tarmacher. We've got no chance of ever being professional. We just have to do with what we've got. Just roll with the punch.
It's all done in fun, though, man. I mean, put it this way: if him and I spoke to some other people the way we speak to each other, as Bo gets in it too, there'd be a lot of hurt feelings, like a lot of sensitive people out there. When you're going at it with Aaron, if you're sensitive, you're dead. That's all I got to say. You ought to have the most thick skin. You better be able to throw back hard. I mean, don't even feel bad about what you say. Just fucking go for the jugular, like a fake dude.
I'm gonna gauge my friend relationship in 10 words. 6 words, right? A sweet and innocent, as plain and simple as this. I got a text message on Saturday morning. I'm on my way to work, walking to work with a famous cup full of coffee. My head's in, listening to music, staring at the leak that I walk past on the way to work. I'm just potting along down the road, beating in a 6 minute homemade jingle. And you know, you look at the phone and you say, "Mom, what's your mum's number?" Okay, right. That's the first thing you say is, "A lad, your best friend, who's been your best friend since you were 7 years, 6 years of age, ask your mum's number." So you reply back, and pardon my French, guys, for those who, "What the fuck do you want my mum's number for? Because I want to call her. Give me your mum's number," right? That conversation went on for about 25 minutes. I eventually gave him my mum's number, and it turned out he had to speak to my brother. But he didn't tell me that. He'd just rather have kept the conversation going that he was trying to chat me mum. And that's just the way it is. And again, it's just, you know, he didn't send me a message. "Hi, how are you doing? Mo, what's your mum's number?" I was like, "What the fuck do you want mum's number for, you creepy, creepy bastard? Get away from mum. I'll kill you." Oh, there's love there somewhere. It's fucking nuts. He is absolutely fucking stark raving bonkers. And then the good old English team. Jesus.
But dude, shit. I'm sorry. I apologize. But that's just fucking shit, dude. I take abuse like it's nobody's business, too. And oh my God. I love getting under his skin enough because I know I'm throwing back hard enough to really piss him off or make him think about. Especially, I stopped calling him Pikey and I kept calling, I don't even know what I call him now. I just told him to call him a bunch of Lucky Charm eating motherfucker or something like that.
Dude, do you know the worst part? Do you know his surname's O'Rourke, right? Here's one for you. The lad's surname's O'Rourke. He has freckles on his face. He has light-coloured hair. I'd say as far as me, close to Auburn. One day it was because he'd fucking butt me. But nevertheless, he is really quintessential Irish, right? Okay? I don't think he's got any first, second, third, fourth generation Irish family. I don't think he has. I've met his aunties, I've met his uncle, they're all his Liverpool aunties. They're all as scouts as you could be. Okay? His grandfather and grandmother, as far as I'm aware, were northern people. They were from this end. So,
okay.
To be fair, I can't see where the Irish is in, other than the fact the surname's O'Rourke. It really rubs me up the wrong way when you have to get an Irish getting on the Irish. It fucking annoying.
He's the way he acts, it's almost he's more American than he is British and Irish at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times I'm going to myself, I'm going, it's not like I'm talking to my neighbor or something like that, or one of my friends from years back.
The wrong side of the road as well.
Yeah, the O'Rourke, that's a big name in the States. The little girl from Poltergeist was an O'Rourke, the one who died. She was an O'Rourke.
That explains it. That explains it all.
Creepy little girl.
She was a fucking weird kid. I don't feel bad for Adam. I don't. He's loved a lot. is crazy as you fucking like. I swear to God, you could write the shit down. You could make a story any more accurate than the way life really is. He's fucking nuts. He gets up to. He's hilarious. But less
sexually, you know.
Oh, dude. So, come on, what's your week been like so far?
Dude, you're starting to garble up again, dude. I apologize. I don't want to say that on air usually, but.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Keep going. I want to hear. We'll do a test real quick.
I'll start it again.
They can hear you.
Right. Or is it only Kate who's having problems? We'll go from there. You hear me now, Kate?
Oh, dude, you sound perfect now, dude.
Of course, I'm me.
I don't know what kind of mic you got, dude, so I don't know which mic you use.
Dude, I've got a pod mic. Cool. So how's your week been?
Yeah. My week's been pretty good, man. I've just kind of been working, got to work starting Thursday. So, I mean, I can't complain, man. It's just one of those things. I'm getting ready to head down to Missouri April 7th. Excited to do that, feeling that down there. Gonna be a blast, you know. It's definitely gonna be a blast. And aside from that, man, I gotta clean my apartment. I just kind of came to that bad conclusion. I got more Amazon boxes than or some aren't even open yet. And I know what they are, but I'm keeping them in the box so that way I don't have to put them in. You know, like I got like two fake GoPros, and I got my regular GoPro, and got the SJ4000. Those are knockoff SJ4000. Which will work good because I did buy a couple clips that work on a regular tripod to fit those things on, so that way I could have three GoPros going at once, and more for a daytime kind of deal than a nighttime, or nighttime depending if I want to do LED lights and stuff like that. I mean, I could definitely not do IR lights or something like that. But aside from that, man, it's doing all right, man. There's a Western on TV right now, kind of. Not really watching it, but you know, how was your week, dude? I mean, today's St. Patty's Day, and I know you're not a big celebrator of it, but you know, you got real relatives from Ireland, and you know, sometimes you got to raise a glass, you know.
Yeah, my grandfather, he was from Ireland. He's from the west of Ireland, which is probably the closest we're going to get to America. He passed away in 2005. So the easy thing is on St. Patrick's Day. All families, most Irish families in the UK, they'll either have a quiet little toast or they'll do something about it, like have a massive shindig. My brother and father disappeared this afternoon to talk to my granddad. Now, to toast somebody, you have to raise the glass. They might as well have raised the fucking pub. I just staggered into my mum's, happy about the day. Oh, my God. He was wobbling all over the place. It was hilarious, but... I mean, yeah, I've toasted that today. It's been a fun day. As for that, the rest of my week, I got a chance to play around with a new toy. Sadly, I don't own it. Maybe one will. The new Zoom voice recorder, the H4N. Have you seen it?
Are you going to get it?
I'm not 100% yet. I've been playing around with it. I actually got a chance to play it too at the same time. And you know, when you're looking at £500 worth of equipment, and you're like, could I justify it? I mean, even the guys on Ghost Adventures won't use chips. It's too expensive, I assume. But, you know, when you're looking, you're so well built. And then you think, I couldn't afford to take it anywhere. You get me? I wouldn't be able to put it down on a rock in the middle of an investigation and go with anybody. Because I'd pay for somebody to do it. And I've got your voice recorder. Fine. And it'd be, I don't mind the voice recorders. I've got, like, the Zoom. If that goes, I'll be pissed. I would be financially pissed. I'd be just not with myself. But, God, the amazing piece of equipment. God, love it.
Yeah, it's great when you're probably doing, like, voiceovers and stuff for videos. I mean, it's probably because it's more of a musical kind of deal, I guess, from what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, let's say you take that thing to an investigation. Let me give you an example. Let's say you go to Waverly. Okay, Waverly, mm-hmm. Waverly Hills. And you're like stoked. You want to use the H4 or whatever Zoom, and you're going to be picking up every other paranormal group from like the all the way from the west wing to the east wing to the north wing. I mean, it's so, like, perfect for recording. But you got to be careful. Go ahead.
I was about to say, if I had time, I'd upload an audio clip I've got saved on my hard drive, but it's too big. The audio clip was of an investigation we done once in an old orphanage, and I took my Zoom recorder to do some VP recording, but not EV where I speak through. I was literally leaving it, any residual noise, and I placed it in the corner, a big, massive dining area. I'm talking this room was about 100 meters, say about 80 meters long, by about 40 or 50 meters wide. It was humongous, this room. And I put my recorder in the corner, and I walked away, and it was my Zoom. I covered the red LED on it in case anybody walked past it, so you couldn't see it, you know it was there. And I let it run for maybe 45 minutes, an hour, and I picked up dogs barking, I picked up airplanes going over, I picked up trains on the nearby train track. I picked up all kinds of noises. I picked up water droplets on the other side of the room where they leak. I was when you just think maybe something's a little too sensitive for what you're trying to do, and I kind of, I was disappointed, really disappointed in using it. I thought it could be, maybe sometimes a piece of equipment is a little bit either too good or, you know, too sensitive. Maybe the insensitivity of all those recorders seem to be doing a little bit. They do a better job. But God,
yeah, I wouldn't actually highly recommend the Zoom for EVPs. I mean, even the H1, you get that for $99 American is still, yeah. Again, you're picking up that. But then at the same time, I kind of do like my Tascam in a way, but it doesn't. Yeah. It has that same issue where it picks up too much. So I'd rather use like a cheaper Olympus and a cheaper Sony or something like that. It still picks up, you know, but it doesn't pick up everything under God's green earth. You know what I'm saying? It's not picking up the trains, airplanes, conversations in Colorado and stuff like that. So.
No, I was over the moon when I got a chance to get. What happened was the company I work for, we discontinued two lines of a voice recorder, and they went down to $20. I think it was about $30. $20 or $30. Two went down. They were VN211s, non-PC connector. You have to plug them in with audio cable and transfer it the hard way. My God, I picked up two of them, and I've had them in weird situations about them. Balanced locks, taped to poles, had them, I've angled them off cables and everything just to record in certain areas, and those things have never let me down. I swear they're amazing. I do my voiceover work for any video that I do. I always use my Zoom. I mean, I'm not a podcast mic, I'm on the podcast mic now, it's a really good podcast, but I'd rather use my Zoom recorder for the purpose of any end of work, because the thing, it's so good for making up just standard audio recorder, especially voiceover gear. But as you say, yourself, you're using an investigation. I really wouldn't suggest it. Two things I wouldn't suggest for an investigation, right? And there's a reason I'm going to mention. Do not take a very expensive DSLR to take photographs to film. And don't take Zoom H1 for recording the audio, because it's a very expensive piece of equipment. And on that note, on Saturday, I'm going to interview the paranormal investigation team in a location with a £1,000 camera and a Zoom H1 to record the audio for the video. So maybe I'll bite myself on the fucking ass with what I've just, but nevertheless, it's all going to be fun.
Oh, that'd be funny as hell, dude. That would be funny as hell.
Do you know what, though? I've had a bit of a thought. I said, just for people in chat room, just so you know, I'm not totally leaving you out there. I mentioned about 2 weeks ago, I'm going to start doing some tutorial videos, because one thing that gets on my nerves is some of out there, they're really closed in how they work it. You have to apply, you've got to pass their credentials, get background checks, you've got to jump through hoops to join an investigation team. And to be fair, what are you doing when you're joining another? Can you hear me better now? I just said I'm breaking up. Do I sound back yet?
You're sounding a little off there a little bit. It was just breaking up a little bit, but you sound fine now, for me at least.
Sound fine. Cool.
But see,
cool.
I can translate Scouse. So I've learned how to do that, so I'm proud of myself.
They think,
that,
they think I'm drowning, whereas you know what I sound like. That's cool. I like it.
But yeah, maybe, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm just sitting here just, it's like a regular conversation, but it's like...
Yeah. Dude, it's not a mule. But yeah, as I said, I promised them a couple of weeks I'm going to start doing tutorial videos for new groups starting, because I've just said then, I don't like the way people have to jump through to join other groups when, to be fair, the only thing the other group has got is maybe their own mutation, or maybe they've investigated a few places. I don't believe that that's the way to do it. Want to do it, go out and do it. Don't rely on a team to do a job that you can do yourself. So I said I'm going to start doing tutorials telling my opinion on why people should use certain piece of equipment. Some people, maybe they don't want to use something up, how you'd ask for access to specific locations in the UK, for instance. And I think it's just, it's an easy way to say to people, listen, don't be afraid to step on your own if you want to do it. You don't have to join on other groups. I've bumped into a load of people in the past who said, oh, can I join your group because I like it and I don't know how to do it. How to set up. Oh, get a camera. Go somewhere, take some photographs, check out, post what the ones you think interesting on Facebook or where you want to post them. Let people rip them apart, go somewhere else, get your friend involved. Guess what? You're a group. I can see how that could be hard. And I'm kind of at a point where I really want to point people in the right direction. I think right now, as a group, between us and obviously you guys over there, we could really sit down, work it out, and say to people, guys, do it this way. You don't have to be a TAPS affiliated. You don't have to be Ghost Adventures crew affiliated. Another one over here is the British Paranormal Association, BPA, who have asked we want to be affiliated with the BPA. No, I don't even know who you are, to be fair. You could be run by the guy from the Enfield Poltergeist event. I don't care. Really don't care. I don't see what I can gain from being affiliated to anybody. So my opinion, set it up on your own, do it your own. What's the thing that's going to happen? So I'm looking at doing the choice. But what I'm going to say is to people who listen to this podcast or the chat room, what would it take for an investigator to experience him to say, okay, I did it, I'm done? Question that just came in. What would it take for an investigator to experience for him to say, okay, I did it, I'm done? To be fair, Ed, it's a good old right. It's a skeptic saying, and this is named at the fact that people can be skeptics. I know you're not a skeptic, and to be fair, I know what you're saying. It is literally like dipping your toe in a pond full of sharks one day. So I can totally agree. But there's an old saying: is to a skeptic, no proof is enough, and to a believer, no proof is necessary. It's away from the question that you ask. Basically what it is we are in a pursuit. We know something's there. For me personally, I see Aaron, our lead investigator, he wants to disprove. He'll say, yeah, he actively wants to disprove. My honest opinion is I want to know. For me for something to tell me, okay, I'm done, would be for me not to find anything. For me not to have an end of pursuit that I've got. You know, when it comes to it, and I just think, do you know what? This, I am banging my head off a wall. I've been enough rooms and enough places and enough asylum and enough orphanages where I've heard a noise or a pop or a bang in the corner. I've thought, Jesus Christ, what the hell is that? Enough out there for me to say the only thing that would ever tell me to stop, obviously, is something which is personal threatening to me, family, obviously, but personally for myself, I don't think anything would tell me to. I think anything that would tell me to stop is the lack of proof. That would probably push me over the edge. But what would you think it'd be for you, Kate?
I'm listening. I was listening to exactly what you were saying. I was thinking about the the mix between Aaron trying to disprove you, trying to prove. I think it plays off each other perfect, actually. Because, for example, let's say if we have we're called orb hunters, okay? You and I say
yes.
We're a bunch of orb hunters, and we go around, and every little orb we get, we make a name for it. We say it's a spirit, you know, whether it's self-lit or not, you know, we come up with something. I mean, and we have nobody in the group to disprove it, I think you need someone. I mean, everybody kind of plays their own role in it, and
yes.
I think you need that. I think you need somebody like yourself. I think you need somebody like Aaron. Steve, I'm not familiar with his belief in this thing, and I'm sure I'll find out. But I'd really like to hear from Steve. But
yes.
You need that. You know, you need the mix of everything, because without the
yes.
mix of everything, you're not going to – I don't know, dude. I just feel like – let's say I went on an investigation. We went on an investigation.
Yes.
We just always found our orbs. We were like, yeah, orbs, man. Orbs for spirits, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's
yes.
start our own, like, Facebook thing called orbsrule.com. And
hell yeah.
You know, and nobody's there to say, you guys are a bunch of fucking knobs. And,
yes.
you know, this is what it is. You know, you got to have that. You got to have somebody say, hey, that thing that fell, that could be something from an old house. Old houses do settle. Or another example, I was watching this TV show, actually. And it's the absolute worst TV paranormal show I've ever seen. It's Canadian, by the way, so you'll love that. But what they do have one good thing about it is they have a home inspector go in and listen to all the stories and go in and explain and disprove the house. Like, things
yes.
moving on the floor. Well, it's like, you know, a lot of these groups will put, like, a marble on the floor. Move the marble. Prove you're here. You know, well,
yeah.
how about I bring a level with me, and I check out the floor to see if it's level. Because a lot of these
yeah.
old houses, they do tip, and you do get the funhouse effect. You know, you got to make sure that, you know, you are using a level surface. But this guy goes in there and checks everything from electrical boxes all the way from old windows and drafts. And, I mean, this guy goes and he writes it down and he does that. And then next thing you know, they bring in the psychic and then they bring in the investigative team. But
oh, yeah.
what they do have is that guy that is a house inspector who really plays, I think, the most key role out of that whole show, because he can explain it away. Look at this. Look how old the house is. The windows haven't been changed. I can feel drafts when I'm walking by. Or let's say you see a shadow figure. Well, let's look at the size of that window in your bedroom. And let's look at that tree that's just sitting, you know, 5 yards from your window. Once that thing moves, man, that thing's going to play havoc on your eyes. So, I mean, it's,
yes.
I don't know. It's just an idea that I thought when I published this series. It's on Netflix. You can get it. It's called Paranormal Home Inspectors. And
yeah.
it's actually not exciting. No, it's not like you're not going to get Zach Bagans on there. But it's interesting how this guy goes in there at first and tells these people, like, listen, you know, your house, it's uneven. You have all sorts of rotted boards that do make noises when you walk. And I learned something actually from working at the Bill Dawson house. It's the house I worked at
yes.
until 1815, is that some people claim to hear footsteps behind them as they go out to the second floor. And I had that debunked, actually, by a lady in her 80s. She goes, you know, Kurt, when you're walking up those stairs, there's nothing to support those stairs from underneath. So what you're getting is like an echo effect. Go upstairs. And this is an 80-year-old lady explaining this to me. And I was like, no way. Let me try it. You know, so I kept going up and down. I'm like, yeah, you're exactly right. So, I mean, who knows? But then again, life is gray, and with it being gray, there are things out there, you know, that could happen that, you know, that can't be explained away either, you know, just by a home inspector or by an 80-year-old lady.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Just to make it a little bit more interesting as well, Ed Beck has just asked, but if you saw an apparition and communicated, what more could you achieve? I'll ask you that first, and then I'll have a go and answer them there.
Wow, that's actually a good point. I mean, what else? I mean, even to get a picture of some, it would have to happen so fast
yes.
that you don't know if your mind's playing tricks on you or it really did happen. I mean, I wouldn't have a camera on me, and all of a sudden, you know, I just see this cloaked figure walking by, and I pop off
yeah.
three shots in a row, and all of a sudden I got the Holy Grail, right? It's
oh,
not
man,
like
dude.
That. Because,
where,
because
the worst part go on.
No, go ahead.
The worst part is, with the way social media's gone at the moment and all these, pardon my French, fucking dipshits who are out there, do you think, get me wrong, they're under the impression it's harmless fun is they'll go out and fake an image and they'll post it up on Facebook, or they'll fake a video and they'll post it up on Facebook. What they think really funny, haha, get a 20-second laugh off friends, is really, I find it quite insulting to what we do. Now, I understand we are actually in the dark chasing shadows. I totally agree with that. But we'll one day find that holy grail piece of evidence. We'll be able to find that image that is a little bit too good to be true.
Yeah,
maybe that perfect piece, and someone's going to shoot it down.
It's the holy grail of what hall was that where they had the brown lady? Was it the brown lady that was on the stairs?
Yes, it was the lady. Yeah, and I know what it was, but I can't for the life of me think it was. It was the same place where the apparition of King, whatever it was, what's his name? Henry III is meant to have shut the doors.
Yeah.
It was the same place as that.
I kind of question that one, actually. I don't know why I question it. It's like the monk,
reckon?
You know, the famous monk photos that you see of the three monks got on over. I doubt that, too. And if you ask me how did I come to the conclusion of debunking it, and I'll be just dead honest and say, I don't know. I just got that feeling that something's just not right with it. It's like the lady sitting at the cemetery in Chicago, I believe. Ed probably knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, the famous one, it was a day shot, and there happened to be a lady just, you know, taking a picnic, you know, on a tombstone. I guess she passed, and that was her spot. But, you know, other groups have used that in ghost apps and shit like that. But at the same time, though, I think a lot of times with that holy grail shot, it doesn't come from paranormal investigators. It could come from a professional photographer. It could come from, let's say, it could come from just you're out there with the family and you're popping off shots. You know, you're doing a tour of, let's say, the Tower of London, and all of a sudden in one of your pictures, you're like, what the hell is that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's where I think you're going to get your best pictures, because they're not trying to fake it. There's nothing behind the want to fake it, you know, with some of these people. Those are the ones I kind of put, I find a little more relevant, but that's just me.
Well, I am, just two things first. This is the same question that Ed asked, which was, but if you saw an apparition and communicated, what more could you achieve? For me personally, the dynamics of what I was doing would change. If I could prove to myself that maybe something else is out. Just bear this in mind, right? You've got a grandmother or a grandfather that you love to death, the same as I do, the same as you did, same as everybody out there does. We all have a relative, that one relative that we have so much emotional feeling for that, you know, you don't want to see any bad happen. So bear in mind, right? You bump into that one apparition, right? And you communicate with that apparition. That is, as a good old saying goes, that is somebody's dad. Somebody's relative. If they are what they say they are, then they are somebody's relative. They're somebody's loved one, right? Could you honestly, if in the context of the question, could you honestly turn your back on that person and say, right, we've communicated now, thank you very much, goodbye? Right? That, if the apparition is actually an apparition, comes forward and they're trying to talk to you or try to communicate with you for a reason, would you walk away from them is more the question, as opposed to what more could you achieve? I'd change the question slightly and say, how could you help? Could you do something? Could you say it? Okay, if you had the chance to communicate with somebody on the other side, would you go, what's it like over there? Or would you go, to be fair, what can I do to help you get closure from going on? Because you're not here because you're like the daisies. You're here for a purpose. There's a reason for you to have been there. So do you understand what I mean? It's maybe the question, what more could I achieve? Well, what I'd change the way I've done stuff. I change myself to take the tiller as opposed to looking for something out there to help something out there. Now, as Ed just said, you may have gotten the image already in a picture of a crowd of 100, is there only 99? That picture turned up in the 40s of a young lad was killed on his way to a school photograph, or 50s, killed on his way to a school photograph. And in the school photograph, apparently he's in the back of the image. So, I mean, whether people have actually caught anything anomalous in an image, 90% of us, we would take a photograph and there's going to be something anomalous in it. That's one of the downsides to using a piece of equipment or a piece of mechanical equipment to do the job that your eyes can also do, but obviously your eyes do a lot better. Now, we've all taken photographs that have been questionable. You've done it, I've done it. People take videos all the time, post them on Facebook, and the LED light on the camera catches dust, and the next minute the room's full of orbs. I've sat there and watched 40 minutes of footage for somebody, and it's been nothing but dust floating around. And you're sitting there watching and watching and watching. You want to rip your bleeding hair out, but that's just the way it is, sadly. That's the way it all seems to fall down. But nevertheless, one day, somebody's going to get that piece of evidence. And because of the way technology's gone at the moment, that piece of evidence is not going to stand for shit because there's too many bigots out there destroying what we're trying to do. I don't go up to somebody, let's say, I don't walk up to somebody who supports football. I don't support football. I think football, this is going to sound really horrible, guys, I think football is a waste of people's money and time. The money could be pumped into something else. I don't like it. I don't watch it. I don't understand it. Just because I don't understand it, like it, nor watch it, am I going to walk up to somebody and giggle and point in the face because they like it? No, each to their own. If I want to run around and do what I want to do, then it's fair. If people want to go out there and start taking stupid images, and then it's just going to sort of, I know it's all lighthearted fun, all it's doing is making what we do just a little bit harder, because they are the people who go, ha, you're wasting your time looking in the dark, nothing's there. They're also the people who do the fake images that people look at and go, well, your image is fake, well, because that image is fake. And it's just like a big, it's a vicious cycle of stupidity. I feel like, guys, it's aimed at you guys as well. I feel like we are like the group of the smart ones, and they're like the idiots out there who want to just have a quick 20-second laugh using stupid images. So, also rant over, but no, to be all and end all, I mean, if I caught something perfect, or if I managed to see an apparition and communicate, I'd find a way of helping them, like James Van Praagh does. I'd find a way of walking to them and saying, listen, what can we do to try and resolve what's going on? But, good study.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I came across it goes, a spirit, anomaly, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is in your eyes, fine, you know, call it what you want. Odds are, from people I've talked to that have witnessed it, if they said they've witnessed it, whether I believe them or not, that's just really not for me to say either way, because I wasn't there. So I just kind of keep quiet about it. But they said it happened so fast, and I'm talking about actually the Bell Dawson house, where we have a supposed slave that is caught kneeling, working on a piece of, it's like herringbone brick. And people have said they've seen it. I haven't seen it. Whether or not it's just one of those kind of things that have just been seen once, or somebody said was there and it gets passed down throughout, you know. It's the perfect place for urban legends. Because now what's interesting is, like, when I go to work, it's a house that's supposedly haunted. And I say supposedly, I mean supposedly. I've really not seen anything except my name being called, but I think I could have, I'm going to be debunked. I think I debunked that one, but I'm not sure. But the thing is, I get people coming in now, instead of wanting to know about the history of the house, after they're done their tour, they want to talk ghosts. I mean, it's gotten to that point where it's almost more popular, from what I've noticed, for them to, you know, want to talk ghosts than actual history itself. I'm more than happy to if they want. I mean, I tell them stories that, from what I've heard and what have been passed down to me, and, you know, any experiences I've had, which haven't been a whole lot there. But that seems to be the thing these days, because of television shows and stuff like that, that, you know, but what Ed was saying is, I kind of have to agree. Like, I'd be so shocked, honestly. I wouldn't know what to say. You know, I'd just be really like, oh shit, what the fuck am I looking at? And then boom, it's gone. And there goes my chance of finding out about the afterlife.
Hey, I've got a very limited experience where it's all say, because I'm going to say I'm one of the unlucky people that I have experienced stuff in the past, but when I've experienced it, I've got more of a, I'm going to say I've got more of a geek head on my shoulders. I'm more geeky, so I tend to look at something as a problem and a fault-finding situation. I'm one of those out-of-the-box type people. I look at it the way everyone else does, and sometimes I can't compute the way shit happens, really. And I've been at a party and I felt something grab on my lower back. I felt something touch me on my lower back. And I've thought, did I feel that? Did I really feel that? And then you question yourself, and then somebody seeing a nun walks in and goes, something's just grabbing me on my lower back. And this was a 13-year-old girl, and she was pretty stressed about it. And it was then I sort of realised, I thought, right, as opposed to going, oh, Jesus Christ, and running around ripping my hair out, I thought, really, what could that have been? And I'll be playing it in my head as opposed to panicking. Don't know why. But I think different people would react in different ways. So I think the question, what I put forward about what would you do, I think that's dependent per person. I mean, I deal with it totally different to the way one of my other team members would. Bear in mind, Adam, the investigator, there's been a time where the both of us have been standing in the same, I'd say like 3 meters apart, and he's gone, we need to leave this place, we need to be out of this place now, pack the stuff up, we're going. Something made him feel different than me. And we were literally, I could have put my arm out and slapped him around the side of the head. I would have liked to have done it, because I just can't. But nevertheless, it was that's how close we were, and something was different for him. So as I said, different people in different ways. Now, Ed, I know with the way you, with what's happened with regards to you and with regards to Marcia, for the love of God, I wish it never had happened to you in the first place, but please take this in the lightest way you can, is what happened to you and the fact documented what happened to you. Have you ever heard the saying, every problem is an opportunity in disguise? The problem that you had was something pretty made your lives hell. The opportunity was you had a chance to document it and show others what happened. People out there obviously would poo-poo you at what happened. They would shoot you down, expect the bigots we all do. But in the same breath, there's people out there who've looked at what you've gone through, looked at the way you've gone through it and gone, right, okay, that makes sense. Maybe we shouldn't involve the news teams. Maybe when something like that happens, the first thing we should do is call upon this person or that person to give us a hand. Because of what you went through, and especially the way you went through it, I have nothing but, as I said, I've got nothing but respect for what you went through. The fact that you've been able to document it, that's a bittersweet. It shouldn't have happened in the first, but it did happen. So, I mean, I don't know. Kudos for that one there, but let's see what else in the chat room anyway. Too many people make money off the fact it is unknown. It should become known, and then that might end the whole industry. That's what Ed's put. Bear in mind, Ed just named it industry. I'd go as far myself as naming it field. It sounds weird, and I know it's only a slight name change, but an industry literally turned it into a money-making scheme. Now, I totally agree with what you're saying. It is pretty much a money-making scheme. But for those of us like me and Kurt and, you know, majority of people out there who investigate, I'm never going to get famous. This is going to sound horrible. Please don't think this is horrible, guys. This is probably about the most media coverage I've expected in my entire lifetime. I don't want media coverage. All I want, I'm the same as probably Kurt and same as anybody else who's out there. All I want is to be able to get an opinion over. This is my opinion. This is what I believe in. This is what I want. This is what we caught. I want to be able to put my opinion out to people and say, right, guys, what I've got. I don't wake up when I get on the radio, I do go on Skype and I do Skype, you know, the echo call test service, just to make sure my microphone's working, and I go 1, 2, 3. I don't sit there and start clearing out my throat. It's not something which I ever expect to, and I never would try and become a big rich person off it. What I would suggest where all this is concerned is to monetize it, to put money to it. It turns it into an industry, sadly. And the only money that's being made in this industry, sadly, is by Bill Chappell and Zach Beacons and that. People who make the shows, people who make the sinister music behind the shows. That's the only place the money seems to be sitting, sadly. So, nevertheless, where I'm concerned, I totally agree that it is an industry, but I think there's two different sides to it. I think there is an industry behind it. I think for people like me and Kurt, there's a field. It's an interest. That's pretty much it. So, bit of a letdown as it stands. Ed's disappeared. Where have you gone? We're Edless.
Did Ed disappear on us?
Sorry, Ed disappeared. Yeah, Edless. That's it. No, Ed's gone. I hope I haven't yet offended them. Probably not. Probably, never know. But nevertheless, I mean, it's onwards and upwards. But have you heard the story of late about the young girl in the car?
Yeah, but what you're saying, though, what Ed was saying, though, it It's become an industry. When you're talking how much, easily millions of dollars, it's an easy $1 million industry plus. You know, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, when you're seeing what some of these guys are worth, and you can look it up online, easily online, like how much is this person worth and, you know, what's their net worth and stuff like that. And I mean, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows, we pay to have this show. So the show's not bought by anybody. It's not, you know, we're not being bought. We're not being sold. You know, we're just basically, this is the way we operate and just have a good time with it. But I mean, as an industry itself, I mean, I think there's some good sides to it, honestly.
Yes.
And then there's some absolute shit sides to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to kind of piggyback on what you were saying about, I'm not going to poke fun at somebody if they watch Ghost Adventures, you know? Because every once in a while, I'll check it out or something. I'll put it on so I can go to sleep.
Do you know what? I'm not going to like it. I watch it. I watch it every time it comes on. I watch every episode. I don't watch the aftershocks. I like to watch episodes because I like to use it as a gauge of what Nuffle can do. I'm not going to like it. Yeah.
There was actually a pretty epic one. It's on this season. I think it's called Seattle Demon or something like that. They finally found a place where there was nothing in there. I'm sitting there going, oh, nice.
Is this the episode where the gentleman in the house is going in his room and had like six all over the walls and shit like that?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Dude, do you know what we call those investigations in our team? We call them equipment tests. That's all it is. It's just a way to get your camera out to the fucking wall of nothing.
Yeah. I thought it was funny as hell. It's probably their teenage daughter or teenage son. Wanted to mess with them big time, or wanted to get on TV of some sort. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm sure you and I can make up a story, dude. I swear to God, and make your place haunted, and we could get more people to investigate your house. Everybody coming up with some sort of different type of idea about what's going on in your house that's not haunted. If you make it haunted. You pitch these shows because I was watching Dead Files the other night, and they had Amy Allen and Steve Dashavi sitting there. And they said, "Well, if you need our help, please go on TravelChannel.com and you know tell us your story." And I'm thinking to myself, "Fucking hell, man! I could fucking have these people come out to my house. Hell, I got a pair of cursed shoes. I got Frankie the monkey. I mean, I could create this whole fucking story." About how, you know, I collect haunted items, which I really don't collect haunted items a lot like that. I just always want to push the envelope to see how bad my life can fuck up based on what's been to me. that's the way I like to do it, you know. That's the way I gauge my life, you know.
Yeah. Jesus, but, I
totally
agree.
It's funny as shit, dude. But, you know, back to the industry part, it's kind of good and it's bad. I mean, because I don't go into groups anymore. There's only one group that I actually go, and that's Beyond the White Noise that I actually post in. I stop posting in any other groups unless it's about our show, and then I go in there and troll. But
it's because our group's, like, the best group in the world.
Yeah, because we call bullshit to bullshit. I mean, we don't... Yeah. We basically will call it out. I mean, even if I put something up, you know, and it looks dodgy, I'm going to get called out on it. And, you know, and hey, more power to you. Call me out. I need to, you know. You got something going. Yeah. I like that idea. I like that idea because, you know, it really kind of hones your skills in, too, at the same time. It doesn't, you know, all of a sudden you're not getting like 1,000 likes on some stupid-ass picture you pulled out. You happen to be at a battleground, in Civil War battleground, in around 7 in the evening when it's starting to get dark, and you pick up an orb or a reflection of a fucking bug flying by, and you post it, and you get 1,000 likes. We like this group. What I love about it is, like, I called the hell out. And, you know, I'm glad I get called the hell out because next time I'm not going to be posting a picture of a bug that's lit. You know, and then it just helps me out as a person, when I go out there to investigate or to, you know, depending, you know, if I'm running from the cops or not, depending on that time, which I'm trying not to after I posted that one thing about that group that got arrested in Ohio. That kind of freaked me out a little bit. That made me think a little bit.
It's biblical stupidity. Now, it's awkward for me to say, but look at the group over there. Right, you got Colin, the police were waiting for them and they got gripped and that was it. Do you know what? And this is the worst part about it, right? We are a country of shitbags. Collectively, we are shitbags, right? The police catch me, right? If a door is open on a massive property or a gate is open, I walk in on that property, right? The owner can ask me to leave as long as it's not residential. So it's like a business property. If I walk in and the gate, they can ask me to leave. Over there, you open it, you walk into a place, if the gate's open, you can, someone will put a gun on you. Over here, we just say, you can't walk here. You're going to have to go. It's not trespassing unless you kick a front door in.
Yeah, I won't go. Now, I learned my lesson about going into asylum without permission. Yeah. I learned my lesson after the last time. I kind of thought about it, and I got out by the skin of my teeth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, we had to talk to this guy, and the last other time was I was at the battleground. I was coming up with a plan to kayak in the middle of the night by about 12 in the morning to kayak the river right up to the bank, bring it up, and do an investigation back there because no cars would be seen driving down there in the park police. But you're on federal ground. Now, in this country, if you're out there on a Civil War battle site, federal, you're just fucked. You know, you're as good as fucked, depending on how cool the park ranger is. Because if that park ranger is a total knob, you're in trouble.
I don't understand the way it is in America, because you can't walk onto it. You can't go into a cemetery at night, can you?
No, some you can. It depends on what cemetery. The best ones you can't. But I've been to cemeteries at night, and I've been to areas. Actually, I investigated. This is really weird. You're going to sound like you're going to laugh. I did an investigation in this one cemetery. Go ahead.
Go on. Okay. I was just going to say, it's pretty weird the way you say the best cemeteries are all locked off. The best cemeteries, like the best place you can bed, is this one. I love the way you word. Go for it, buddy.
I'm a cemetery junkie. I'm in it for the history. I go there for, you know, the camera shot. Because the odds of somebody haunting a cemetery, really, honestly, if you die, and yes, you were able to come back through some sort of magic or whatever you call it, you're not going to be hanging out at a cemetery. Dude, you're going to be at a titty bar. Come on, I mean, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy eternity. You're not going to worry about hanging out with a bunch of other stiffs lying there. You know, I mean, that'd be the most boring place to be in the world. But
That's why I've already had this discussion with people in the past. Why the fuck nobody haunts a McDonald's? When I die, I'm going to haunt a Ferrari. That's all I want. I just want to haunt a Ferrari. I just want to go on that ride. What's the way after you crash? Gutted. But never. What if I change the subject ever so slightly? Invite on our guests.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I could see you haunting a Ferrari place, dude. You're just...
Oh, dude.
But I could see you being, like, cool about it, but I wish you'd turn, like, evil about it. So, like, every millionaire that buys one, once you're in there next to them, they don't know it. You start playing with the radio and stuff, and then you smash
start touching old people's legs and all, and driving the car, just creep the fuck out of them. That'd be great, that. Listen, dude, we've got Klamathyville Horror on. You ready?
Let's bring them on.
Say hello.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
You guys are the hardest people to get in a place ever.
We got so distracted listening to you. It's like, do we phone in now? And then we thought, we'll just listen to you a bit more. Listen to you taking questionable photographs.
Yeah. Do you know every photograph that's taken by us is questionable? It's just... Screw it. Who cares? We take them. We thousands of them. We've been three quarters of them, nevertheless. But anyway, how are you guys doing anyway?
Yeah, we're really good. Yeah, Well, I say keeping out of mischief, but that would not be true. So.
That's bullshit. That's also bullshit. Do you know what? Any other group? Now, I'm going to rag on a load of groups. So if you guys, not you, but if anybody out there is listening to this show, if you're a member of this group, right, or not this group, but this type of group, right, please, for the love of God, I want you to rethink what you do. Do you know the SWAT team groups? Do you know who I mean when I say SWAT team groups? The guys who go out and they all dress exactly the same. They all have exactly the same equipment and they all have procedures and protocol. Those guys, right? I have got maybe about 30 or 40 of them groups on Facebook and pages, and they pop up on feed every once in a while, and they'll say enter, and that's just day two, and they go a bit like, you know, imagine them sitting there typing out the Facebook stage while playing their own little internal sound to make themselves think they're cool, right? And then you come along, and you're dressing up as judge, jury, and executioner in the middle of fucking courthouse or something like that. And you know what, you have humor out of it all, and I absolutely love that. I think it's funny. It's a well changed to me Facebook feed when you guys pop up, because everyone else is being all serious, and then you pop up with an absolutely insane.
I know, but we just sort of show up and start dancing, and everyone's like, what the fuck? We're like, yeah, that's us.
I want you to, right, get your phone, go on Facebook, right, and I want you to pick I'm going to guess at this, the fifth Facebook status you put on your page, pull it up and try for it, just read out.
Hang on, let me have a look.
Oh, just realized, you guys and technology don't mix.
Oh, I know. Okay, well, here's the recent one from Body Rectory. I said there was a lot of stone throwing. Kat said remote haunted there, and then I said also the groom gardener saw the phantom coach. It was glittering in the moonlight, and Kat said glittering. Was it in twilight? That was one of the recent ones.
I'm going to find some. No, you've started something now. I'm actually going to go and find some myself. Just so people are aware, right, I'm going to read out a status of one random. So give me a second. I'm going to find a random paranormal event. Come on, phone. You can be quicker. Right, okay. I'm going to find a random group. So if there's your group out there, I do apologize. Let's go for that one. This one's close. This is a low one to us. Where are we? HWPI presents an investigation inside the 17th century building, a night of panel investigation with mediums. Book your tickets before they've all done an amazing old blah, 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 blah. You know, just trying to make it sound really cool and tell you the history of the building. Okay, that's just a random one off a random page. That's just an idea of what normal people would put.
I'm going to normal. We've got another one of ours. We've got another one of ours up here. In Gloucester Cathedral, our tour guide has given her opinion on what happened to King Edward II, and then I captured, I refused to accept, he was smothered, but lived happily ever after. He got the poker treatment, and then Link says, I bet his poker face was different.
See? Right? Oh, okay. Let's see what else we've got here. I'm going to find one more. We also went into a church in the graveyard at night. Not sure we were supposed to do this. We were supposed to be there, but going in places we shouldn't be is the Calamityville Way. That wasn't exactly that funny, but, you know, it was funny enough. where are we? I'm going to find one more, and then I'm just going to... Right. The SA Britain was incredible. While me, Tom, and Amy were in the gift shop, we got abused by a twat who had never seen the Goth before. We didn't see Captain John Gray's ghost, but we had our photograph taken with Brell. Dressed up in Victoria clothes. Catch times. See, all I see with status is like, is everybody else is being all serious about the paranormal, and you guys come along and all you hear is, dear diary, that happened to us today. I think it's brilliant. You know what? As I said, the lighthearted to you sort of kind of, it makes it weird what you do. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for you, Steve. It's funny as hell. But nevertheless, what's on the cards? What have you got planned?
We're going to America.
Oh, shit. You're going to Las Vegas, aren't you?
Yeah. Las Vegas and San Francisco, and we've never left the UK before, and we're going to America. And
San Francisco.
Yeah.
You guys will fucking love it. I mean, out of everywhere I've been in California, and I'm from the East Coast, San Francisco is the best between Alcatraz and all the Fisherman's Wharf and all this, you know, all the other stuff going on. Vegas, I don't know much about Vegas.
No, but do you know all you need to know about Vegas is Zach Bagans from So Chances Are It's Fake. Oh, no, Vegas, it's fake. A place. Sorry.
Yeah, well, the reason we're going is Neen's brother was actually getting married in Vegas, and she was like, I'm going to be in America for a week. Do you want to come with me? We'll do some ghost hunting. And we're like, yeah, right. So, well, she's going in the West. So we're going to Vegas like 4 days, but we're actually not going to be there the whole time because while she's in the wedding, we're going to go off to Kansas City, meet up with some friends. But then we're going to spend 4 days in San Francisco. So we were like, oh, we'll go to Alcatraz. And then we were trying to, like, book Alcatraz because everyone's like, oh, do it well in advance. So we were, like, going on dates of Alcatraz, and we kept clicking back to find out when we could book. And then Alcatraz blocked us from their site. And they were like, there's suspicious activity here. And we were like, but you don't even know us yet. We haven't even got there. We've already been banned
from
their site.
I think they've found out about how crazy you are, you know. I think that's probably what's happened. They've gone, oh, shit, to them.
Yeah.
The only people, the only people who could successfully break a prison, you guys. I can see that. So what are you taking over with is, obviously, you're going to take clothes and stuff like that. Otherwise, it's this trip. You might as well just be like... rambles if you, but what are you taking with you equipment wise? Have you decided yet, or is it going to be a case you can fit in your hand luggage?
We take all our cameras, we've just got ourselves, well, the full spectrum camera, and then we couldn't figure out how to use it. But we eventually figured that out. But the thing is, when we buy like new cameras, we don't actually test them until we're actually on an investigation, and then it's usually in the dark and can't find the buttons, and which is always a disaster. So we're going to take our cameras, and other than that, whatever the customers don't take off us, because when we were going to America, Neen's wife, Sophie, went, the twins are going to get shot. And we were like, why? And she was like, well, not many people sort of really like gossip out there. They're going to get shot. And we were like, why us and not Neen? And then our uncle also reckons we're going to get shot in the airport. So we might not actually end up doing the show.
When you come to the state, do some investigations at like Walmart or something like that. That could be fairly
interesting.
Oh, like right, that'd
be brilliant.
Just walk in with cameras. That'd be great.
That would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's how we generally do investigations. Like overnight ones, we book in advance. But if it's just a daytime one, we'll just drive up to a location, get out all our cameras, walk in and just start filming. And that's how we roll, really. So we could totally do that in America.
Have you ever had the good fortune when you've been filming for people to just go, oh, wow, what are you doing? And you sort of look and think, wow, they're filming something. Do you ever get that? We get it all the time when we set up all our equipment and we'll be filming something and people will walk up and go, so what are you doing? Filming. Oh, that's cool. What are you filming about? It's something to do with the paranormal. Really? Well, do you know this? And it just, you know, you want to go away, but in the same breath, you're like, you guys think we're important, and we're really not. Do you ever get...
No, they keep away from us. Or the abuser. they start insulting us. And it's like, the guy who did it on the SS Great Britain. We were standing there. We were filming the piece. I was reading out the information by the ship, and Kat was filming it. And then he just walked past and started yelling at us. And most of it we couldn't understand because, I don't know, just grunts and stuff. And then he shouted out, you're freaks of nature. And then I hollered back, you're the freak of nature, Wankenstein. And then there was all these people on the ship above us watching. And we were like, we're doing a filming piece here. This looks like really unprofessional. And then, like, he carried on, and then I shouted after him, this is going on YouTube! And then he just sort of fell silent there. We didn't see him after that, actually. I think he avoided us then. But it is on YouTube.
Yeah, Yeah, Mo, I remember that last show. I was watching the video of the last show you guys were on with us a while back. You were filming somewhere, but it was right before the Ancient ran in, and some guy walked by, just some regular guy, and mouthed off to you, and you guys started mouthing off right back to the guy. I thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world. I was sitting there laughing my ass off. You were filming something.
Yeah, that was in Pembroke Castle. Oh, we had a bad day that day. Because we used to go around and we have the camera and it's sort of, well, like Lynx is a small camera, it's just sort of like part of her arm. We forget we're filming most of the time, so something like that happens and we just answer back and then we're like, oh, that was captured. Oh, that's totally going on YouTube.
See, that's the best. And you put
it in
the video.
It's like when you go out with your friends and you just drink a little bit too much and you just think, nah, fuck it. If it's going to happen, or some stupid stuff's going to happen. You know when you're just happy with your friends and something like that happens? You kind of do forget that the camera's there. I've done it a few times where I've been recording. To give you an idea, whenever I'm ready for B-roll, which is like the atmospheric for the gym between shots or anything like that, or in between scenes, whenever I film and B-roll, I'll be with one of the lads who comes with us. Right, the dude I'm talking about, his name's Brad. He's just under 7 foot tall. He's ex-military, skinhead. The guy is one scary-looking bastard, okay? We can go anywhere, and people look at us and think, we'll swerve, we'll go right round them, because he looks scary. He does. So what we do is we go out, and we'll film B-roll, and we'll be in like a big old cemetery filming B-roll, people avoiding us. And I was editing some of our footage, some B-roll footage, I'm cutting through, and I didn't realise, I could hear it at the moment on headphones, which is locked on the back of my screen, so I took my headphones off, and I listened to the conversation, and I thought, you know what, if that ever ended up on Facebook, I reckon I'd probably get arrested, or I'd probably end up getting myself in serious, serious trouble from the shit we talk about while we're out. Now, we need, as of late, a bit of video going, I really need to watch what I say. I never watch what I say on here. It's going to get us in trouble. I never say on a camera. It's going to get me in trouble. But you know what? Fuck it. It happens too late. We can't do nothing about it. Nevertheless. Sorry, what did I say?
There's bits we post up. There's like some of the investigations we've been on have been like really long, like with Newton Park and that. And we actually cut out like a lot of the ghost hunting and keep in all the funny bits and stuff. We're like, that's so much more entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
No one wants to see us just sitting in the cupboard going, coming in here with us. It's like, nah, that's boring.
I've got a piece of footage from when we investigated there, and then we got into the morgue. They gave us the morgue for about 3 or 4 hours, but they literally locked us in because the door wouldn't shut. We were like, okay. And this, you're in this skin morgue with all these body fridge. Then there's a chapel, so you can, like, a chapel rest. And while we're there, it's all scary, pitch black. The only lights we've got are the lights we've got. And we're sitting there, and the next minute, our lead investigator goes, I want to get onto the slabs in the fridge.
And one of
I don't believe it was hilarious. But what happened was, he got in, and I passed a voice recorder, and about him and another person got in, I passed a voice recorder between the two of them, and then I said, just while you're in there, ask questions, you're not going to get any responses, but just do it. That's the way that could happen. So what happened was, he sits there, and you just hear, I'm actually reenacting it. Give me a second. All you heard was, is anybody there? And I thought, when I was listening to the recorder, what's that? I couldn't work out what it was. It was only towards the end of when they got out, and I realised, I said to him, dude, stop your sweets. You can't be sitting there sweet. It gets worse. I told to get the rubbers, because you have to wrap them on the slab. When pick yours up, you scruffy bastard, right? And you put them in your pocket. When you go out, you can find the bin, put them in a bin, right? The last shot I took of that body fridge was all the sweepers on the fucking fridge. You left them there. But no, some things you do catch. Sorry.
He purposely put it back, by the way, to piss you off.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you that.
No, fuck you. Told me that. Did he tell you what I'd done to it? Do you know why he done that? When he went into the fridge, he said to me, shut the door over, but don't hit, right? I near kicked that door shut. I thought, through you, you're in here, you stay. Didn't know if it would open again. I thought, we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
Me did that to us. He just shut us in there for about half an hour and they went, and it's all jammed. Yeah, and we almost couldn't get back out then, and then Neen couldn't get in because the slabs kept tilting. So it was like a lot of footage of Neen trying to get into the morgue fridge and then utterly failing and then failing to get out. So we get out and then film her.
Oh, God, no, it's hilarious. As I said, I literally live about 4 meters away from it. I'll build my seat every single day, but in the same breath, you know, when you see some groups going in there and they're all out fixing the head torches and, you know, locking batteries on the camera like the RAM, you're like, oh, dude, please stop it. Oh, you just give us a bad name, really, you do. But nevertheless, I mean, as I said, as it goes, that one is one of the better. I mean, you guys went up to, was it Edinburgh? Yeah, you've done Edinburgh.
Yeah, we go to Edinburgh sort of every year, and it's just amazing. We love it up there. And so we do like all the vault tours and that. When we last went, which was in July, we were on the vault tour, and we always managed to lose the tours, although they always notice, sadly. And everybody else left, so we'd stay down. So we'd be like, oh, funny, we've got it to ourselves. And we were down there, and we heard footsteps, and we were like, we think we're the only ones down here. And the guy like came back, and she was like, I'm knocking us, get out. And we're like, oh, okay. So we were like one of your colleagues down there blowing out the candles, and she was like, no, I'm the only one here. And we were like, because we just heard footsteps, and it captured it on our DVR, but like we hadn't been allowed to film, and we were like, that was pretty cool, because we made sure that everybody else buggered off out of the vault, and then we just sort of hung back, and we actually picked up footsteps, and they were like, that was really cool, and then we were like, we want to go back down, and she's like, no, I'm knocking up.
Oh, please. Just leave us the keys, we'll put them through when we're done. Do you know what? I wish we're allowed to do that as people are not allowed to. The worst is, I was saying just before you guys came on here, is in America, if you go to certain cemeteries, and Kurt will vouch for me as well, if you go to certain cemeteries in the US and you're not allowed there, it's a federal offence. Okay? What happens if you go to a cemetery? What happens? You just get cold and wet, don't you? There's nothing else that could happen. If the police come and see you in a cemetery, they go, what are you doing in there, you gobshite? Go home. That's all you get. They'll chase you. And that's about it. That's as simple as it goes. And over in America, you can actually get in prison. That shit, I think it's hilarious. What's the worst you can do in a cemetery, Kurt? I don't get it. Could you get one of the stones on fire? It's stone probably survive. There's nothing you could do.
I'm actually, minus pissing on a grave, I've done that before. it wasn't purposely. I just really had a piss. And, it was the back of a grave, so I really didn't, hit the person in the face. So, on that note, you got to be careful, though, in the States. Like, some of these are, like, privately owned, and if you're on, like, private property, or if, let's say they got a gate and they got a couple houses where people live to keep an eye out. And if you sneak up the back way, and we thought of getting into the cemetery and not, no torches, but you'd have to wear the all black, but not for coolness factor. There's absolutely no coolness factor. It's for, I don't feel like spending the night in jail factor. They'll fucking call the cops and they'll get you for trespassing. And they'll slap you with a nice fine, and then you got to go to court and this and that. And it's bad. But then I've been to a few, too, at night where it's not that big of a deal because, it's like the difference between a graveyard and a church and a cemetery. Cemetery's out there, graveyard's more church. And shit like that. And so, if you go to a graveyard, you're lucky and better off. Like, we have this one cemetery. It's an animal cemetery. It's a pet cemetery. It dates back to 1919, and like they have like a dog that was like a hero in World War I, and but all everything's scattered everywhere, and all the old bottles of wine and shit like that, and guys are probably pissing themselves drunk and shit like that, so we call them piss bums. You could get into that. I mean, you could really get into that as long as you're careful and you're not running around with like 50 million LED lights going off. Your camera, your best bet is do infrared if you're going to do something. I did a dueling ground. I went to a dueling ground in my state where they actually had 50 duels. And the guy who wrote our Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, his son was killed in a duel based on an argument he had with his college roommate at the Naval Academy. So, yeah, we did that. We weren't there, and, you know, nothing there. I mean, it was so loud with cars going by. I mean, I wasn't worried about trespassing there, but there's a cemetery on the other side. I was like, I'm not fucking with the cemetery. I'm more focused on the dueling ground because there's more one on here in the dueling ground than whatever in the cemetery, and, you know. But, you know, you just got to be careful in the States because if you go on, let's say, a battleground, I mean, like a Civil War battleground, it's federal. If you get a federal charge against you, you guys are about fucked. But the cool thing is, if you go to Gettysburg, if you guys go to Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, it's you're allowed to be there till 10 at night. So you will get some nighttime thing. We were going to go there. I had it set up with a friend. His girlfriend's mom was a bigwig in the history up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, about 50 minutes from my house. And he paid $500. He put $500 down, which he was going to get back. But we were allowed to investigate. We were going to meet the guards and this and that. And then, as you know how it goes, Mo and everybody else, it always falls through. So, I give him props. He did really try hard. He put the money down. And I had some people coming from New York and who are a bunch of tools now anyway. So, I'm not going to mention names, but, you know, I picked a bunch of douchebags. But aside from that, you're lucky in the UK. You're really lucky in the UK.
I'll take that one. Right, okay, next question, just because I can't play on the planet. Pick one place on the planet you go.
Dracula's Castle. Yeah, in Romania.
Dracula's Castle. Tepes. Yeah. What's it called? Not Tepes. What's the place called?
In
Transylvania.
It's got a name for the place, hasn't it?
Vladdy and Taylor live there, yeah.
Yeah, what's the name of the castle? Oh, shit, it's got a name. Let's call it Wigan. Why not?
Why not?
Anything will do. But, yeah, I'll give you that one. That's a fair shout. Go on, Kate. Where would you pick?
Where would I like to go?
Hell?
I'd like to go, actually, somewhere in the UK. Where the Battle of Hastings took place. Was that in the UK?
Are you kidding me?
That or the Suicide Force. That or the Suicide Force. I'd like to go to the UK, and do spend a month there or something like that. Just, you know, a budget. Yeah, like a real small budget. You know, like showing up at Mo's house at 3 a.m. him not knowing it and allowing me to sleep on his floor and kicking me in the side when I'm snoring too loud or something like that.
what's the best that could happen? Don't worry.
I'll be curled up next to Mo's dog. I'll be spooning the dog, so it doesn't matter.
The dog won't mind. The dog will be happy for the company. But no joke, I'd be in Japan. Fuck, I'd go straight to Japan. The best way.
Yeah.
Japan all the way for me.
That would be cool.
Do you know what? I'm a bit 50-50 on the Suicide Force. I'd love to investigate it, but in the same breath, because of how raw it is as a place and how new some of the deaths are, I'd feel really uncomfortable with that. That's the only thing that'll lay out for me. I know you guys, you probably don't care. You just really don't. I wouldn't blame you in the slightest, but I'd be a little bit uncomfortable with it because I just feel uncomfortable, man, being so close to so many pressure.
And there would actually be someone there at the time, and we'd be like, well, this is typical.
This is awkward.
It wouldn't. No. Did you get on? By the way, they wouldn't go quick. Let's help him or let's help her. They'd be like, oh, typical. Just typical. Yeah. To talk about creating your own investigations, bad. Never mind. But no. I mean, I do.
Yeah, every episode we joke about turning people into ghosts so that we can actually have them on our show and just
running them down,
especially in pedestrian zones. Yeah.
Well, wasn't it Houdini, Harry Houdini? He had a coded message for his wife. Then his wife had a coded message, and what the plan was, if one was to pass away, the other one would go and spend time with mediums and clairvoyants and say, pass a message through. try and get a message through for, and the message would be a coded message. And I don't know whether anything ever came of that, but yeah, it was Feeney who'd done that. Because he was, no. like, really against that, the cult, wasn't he? Heavily against it.
Yeah, that would be... We'd say we'd want... If we were to come back, we'd want to be, like, Poltergeist, but, like, really malevolent, like... Poltergeist, and like people would be doing films of our poltergeist activity, but they wouldn't quite be able to capture the sort of true horror and malevolence that would be the Calamity Ville poltergeist. And we'd give them like a really yeah. bad name, and that but like something like really random and yeah. move around.
You want like, you want the poltergeist a bad name? How can you give a poltergeist a bad name? For poltergeist, the pretty shit reputation is a dance.
I know, but we'd make it so much worse.
That's worrying.
You know, give a poltergeist a name.
Oh, no. That's
make a full of supermarkets and stuff. Yeah. Make shopping a really unpleasant experience for everyone.
Dude, you need to realise a shop for men, shopping is a really negative experience. I have been to Primark. Kids know what Primark is. Primark is a botchery. Primark is the reason that men have no way. That place is scary. It's a shop, it's a department store shop. Sorry.
We don't go to we shop online, we can't bear it. We just get so irate in crowds and it's just like, oh.
That's so much better. I couldn't deal with the crowds and places like that. I've been there. I always remember once going to Primark and I was there with my wife and she goes around and doing a shop. And I thought, I was with my son was only about 2 at the time. I thought, I'll go to the McDonald's and get myself a cup of coffee. We went to McDonald's, had a cup of coffee, had a flurry, enough time to sit there and eat all that, and get back to the shop. And when we got back, I've been waiting for us that long, why did you go and get a cup of coffee? You know, when you just get that feeling where your heart just sinks, you're like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but, no, I could never haunt a place like because I never want to be there, place. It's enough to take it out. But, nah.
We probably do it like at Christmas time as well and like break all the tills and so that everybody just ends up just horrifically miserable because all the tills are broken and there's massive queues and then everything starts getting really irate and stuff lying up the shelf. And that's when we'd come into our own then. We'd have some traps.
Oh, perfect. That'd be hilarious. I would absolutely love that. Right, now, I'm going to warn you, shamefully enough, it is literally the end of the show. It's coming up in a couple of minutes. So what have we got to expect? What, other than the Las Vegas / Alcatraz, when you break Alcatraz, what have we got to expect, guys, over the next couple of months?
We've just finished filming season 4, and I think it's quite possibly our best, most unprofessional episode season ever. There's a lot of shenanigans with some mannequins. We were given like Carmarthen lockup to ourselves and they had police and prisoner mannequins, so we got to a bit of mischief with them.
Lean broke one.
Yeah.
and we actually had Mom of Shire Hall to ourselves and they had the courtroom, so we dressed up in barrister robes. We got the volunteer worker who'd stayed the night with us to participate, and we performed a mock trial
of Count Dracula.
We've actually released a mock trial as a sort of special episode, but we did another one as well. And and then we got like the SS Great Britain. What else did we do? We did an episode in a place called East Budley in Salem. We actually were doing a reading at a literary festival, and they said, "Oh, the place is haunted." And we're like, "Excellent, we'll film an episode at the same time as doing the reading." And I mean, how would be wrong? And we got lost trying to find Walter Riley's house.
We got lost on a straight road.
Yeah, it was a mile road, straight road. We got lost, and then we ended up showing up at this literary festival, soaking wet, muddy, and smelling a farm animal. And that was everybody's first impression of us. I mean, like, that's episode 2.
Oh,
we
my God.
We've Jack and Laura from Jack and Laura Go series. They're also Welsh. We went to the scuba dinner with them. That was a lot of fun.
That was when we got into the church.
Yeah that was when we got them into the church. So in dark. What else fun did we do? We did Borley Rectory and pissed off a local. And we got stalked by a cat on that one.
Mm.
We went to Barkley Castle.
Barkley Castle. We did some tree climbing in Barkley Castle. because we weren't getting much haunted activity, and then we're like, oh, trees, and started climbing them, and then we were with our mate Tom, and Tom, I was like halfway up a tree, and Tom was like, I don't think that's appropriate attire for tree climbing, and I was like, I was just sort of thinking that, and by that point, I was halfway up the tree, so it's like, it's a bit late now. It's such a fun season, yeah, and then there's the effort.
Right. Well, here's the deal. Is it okay if I post to your shows up on or to your episode on group on
Facebook? Oh, yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Right, well, what I'm going to do, people who are in the chat room now, for love of God, if you don't watch it, I'm going to come and hunt you down. If I'm in America, I'm going to find somebody in the record to come and sort that out for us. Guys, you go and watch it. Right, I've watched a fair few of your episodes. I think when you watch them, it starts off with all good intentions. It's like radio show. You start off with the best intentions, and then it just goes on a tangent. The brilliant tangents.
No idea what the hell we were doing. We had the camera, and people were like, oh, you should get on YouTube, promote your books and that. And we were like, oh, yeah, right. And then Riff and Joe, we were like, we found these cheap ghost hunt tickets. Didn't get round to booking the place. Only place that left was Riff and Jail. And we were like, oh, okay. So we went there, filmed it, and then we were like, we should totally do our own ghost hunting show. And then because it just...
We tried to be professional, but, you know, we'd do it like a proper show. And then it just grew into a life of its own, and we don't even try and be professional anymore, no, apart from, like, the research and that.
Yeah, like, we do, like, loads of research and that, but, yeah, like, on the SS Creek, we dance with the mannequins.
Yeah. Oh, we dressed up as well. We put Tom in the dress. That was fun.
You know what the worst part about it is? You start with all the best intentions. That's it. That's perfect. But as I said, guys, sadly we're going to have to cut it and call it a day. But nevertheless, thank you very much for coming on. I love when you guys come on because it's always fun, isn't it? It's always. I dread to ask you. No, you are. As I've said in the past, I'll say it again. You guys are welcome whenever you want. The only thing that worries me is when you come on, I'm like, oh God, what have they been up to? What have you done now?
We've done so much, it's remembering what we've been up to, and then it's like, my God, months have gone past, and it's like, oh yeah, we did that. Oh, we did that too. Like, oh no.
I tend to worry of the fact whether he's out of prison. To be fair, that's about it. I just envision that one himself locked up for something crazy, like, I don't know, trying to hide a body which turns out to be a mannequin or something like that, or wasting time by getting yourself locked in a fucking castle or something like that. But nevertheless, thank you very much, guys.
We keep expecting it because, like, we keep trespassing and we're really bad at it, and we always get caught as well. But because we just, like, blatantly walk in broad daylight, and of course we've got, like, bright colour hair, so they always spot us. Yeah. And we've got a pink car, so they spot that outside too. And it's just like, we just probably, like, hide.
Oh, God help you, guys. Right, well, as I said, thank you very much, guys, and we will definitely catch up with you soon. You come back on soon, okay?
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Right, hey, thank you very much, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye,
guys. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
What do you mean, take two? Like, the first one wasn't good enough? Like, you're some kind of director, like Martin Scorsese, and I'm some sort of actor, like Benedict Cumberbuns? All right, you want your take two? I'll give you your take two. Crank up the music, guys. Let's go. You are listening to Beyond the White Noise Paranormal Radio. With your hosts from the USA, we have Kurt Logsdon. He thinks he's a director now, but you'll recognize him with a potty mouth. And then from Liverpool, England, we have Mo Gunnery. Mo is the one who gets excited and talks real fast, and you won't understand a damn word he's saying. Now, how's that for an intro, guys? Is that good enough for you? Did I have enough feeling? Yeah, well, try having feeling when you got two guys standing in front of you that aren't wearing pants. What's up with that shit? I'll see you later.